the Public News Service daily newscast for June the 22nd, 2021. I'm Mike Clifford. Ranchers see opportunities for reform in the wake of that cyber attack on the world's largest meatpacking company. More on that from Eric Tiganoff.
JBS controls nearly a quarter of beef processing in the U.S., and a ransomware attack on the Brazilian-based company in late May sent shockwaves through the industry. In its wake, Montana Senator John Tester and two of his Republican colleagues have introduced legislation to appoint a special investigator to look into antitrust issues within the industry. Steve Charter is an independent rancher near Billings and a member of the family agriculture group Northern Plains Resource Council.
Not only the meatpacking industry, but our whole food system is so vulnerable, and it's so concentrated, and it's so monopolistically controlled. So this is a probably once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to possibly push through some real reform.
Four companies control 85% of U.S. beef processing. Charter says prices for cattle producers are unsustainable, but the meatpacking industry says other factors have made prices low for producers, including drought, higher feed prices, and a labor shortage.
Politico reports Senator Joe Manchin declined Monday to commit to advancing Democrats' sweeping elections bill, saying he would need more assurance that his proposed changes would be adopted. As Politico noted, it may seem like a picayune matter, given that no Republicans support the bill, and the GOP is expected to filibuster the effort on Tuesday. But Democrats want to send a political message, and they need Manchin's vote to paint a more vivid contrast with Republicans and their blockade. Now Lily Bolke gets us to Vermont, a state we don't get to as often as we'd like.
Vermont ranked in the top 5 states for overall child well-being, according to an annual report, but advocates for children and families say the pandemic has highlighted the need for strong supports. The Annie E. Casey Foundation Kids Count data book shows that 10% of Vermont children were living in poverty in 2019, although that number is down from 2010. Just 2% of children lacked health insurance, but with the pandemic, many more households lost income or health insurance. Sarah Teal, with Voices for Vermont's Children, says bold policies are needed.
We also need to be thinking about going beyond recovery, especially in the sense of correcting some of the systemic barriers and injustices that have resulted in racial disparities over time.
According to the latest Census Bureau national survey, Black and Latino households with children reported far more concerns than white households on issues ranging from mental health and accessing health insurance to ability to pay their rent or mortgage on time and put food on the table.
This is PNS. A conference committee working on Ohio's budget could vote as early as today on measures that could make it more difficult to access food assistance.
At the last minute, provisions were added to the Senate version of the budget aimed at reducing fraud in the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. Hope Lane with the Center for Community Solutions says those include asset tests that would cut off assistance for people with roughly $2,200 or more in the bank.
There's a lot of reasons that people would have that money in their account. They could be saving for tuition. They could be saving for first month, last month, and a security deposit. But if you happen to be recertifying your SNAP eligibility and you have that money in your account, under this, you would not be eligible for SNAP.
The asset test would allow the first $4,650 of a vehicle to be excluded. Other provisions include requiring SNAP recipients to report every change in income and prohibiting raises in the initial eligibility for SNAP assistance. For Public News Service, I'm Mary Sherman.
Those changes were inserted into the Senate version of the budget bill just weeks ago. And with the pandemic making internet access more crucial than ever, a federal program is helping people to afford it. The FCC has set up the Emergency Broadband Benefit. It reduces prices for high-speed internet to people who have experienced financial setbacks during the pandemic. David Keyes is Digital Equity Program Manager for the City of Seattle.
Staying connected is just so incredibly important for folks to stay socially connected, to apply for unemployment or other benefits, to participate in community, to get services, to stay in school, get your education, or apply for a job.
The $3.2 billion program will go on until funds run out or the country is no longer considered to be in a pandemic. And finally, Suzanne Potter tells us this week is Pollinator Week, an annual event designed to draw attention to the plight of pollinators like butterflies and bees.
Populations of the Western Monarch butterfly and many species of bees have collapsed, but Andrea Williams with the California Native Plant Society says home gardeners can create wonderful habitat if you time the blooms right.
If you really want to attract pollinators to your yard, you want to make sure that you're offering up enough flowers throughout the growing season to keep them fed.
Early bloomers like manzanita are pollinated primarily by bumblebees. Native lupin will attract bees, and for late season blooms, try buckwheat and asters. For more information on bee-friendly gardening, go to cnps.org or endangered.org/pollinator-protectors. Williams says the California Native Plant Society is offering a new garden planning tool called CalScape, which draws on a huge database to help you choose and find the right pollinator-friendly plants.
This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service, member and listener-supported, heard on radio stations big and small, and online at publicnewsservice.org.